managing Living Out Loud series. We're talking about managing your mind. Everybody say, managing your mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace, peace. Hebrew word is shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Hallelujah. Wholeness, soundness. So you will be kept in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on the Lord. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Turn to someone next to you, look them real nice in the eye, smile, look them right in the eye and smile at them, say, change the way you think. So then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is that good and pleasing and perfect. Ephesians 4:23, New Living Translation, says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. When's the last time your thoughts have been renewed? Hallelujah. Amplified Bible says, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So everybody sniff a little bit. So you smell your thoughts? Have you smelled them lately? All right. Philippians 2:5, New King James Version says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in other words, if it was possible, you can have the same mindset and mentality that Jesus Christ had. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
You can say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. And hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. All right. Philippians 4:8, New Living Translation. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. My last opening scripture is Colossians 3:2. In the Amplified Bible, it says, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on things on the earth. So we need to be setting our minds up on the higher things. So I believe there's a sense of urgency and about the seriousness of our mind and mentality maintenance that needs to occur. You know, to effectively live out loud, I believe there's some internal mind and mentality work that must be done by God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you some scientific neurologist data. They say that the main signals that your cells respond to are your thoughts. That's amazing. 75 to 100 trillion cells each contain full DNA component. Each cell has about 1,000 receptors or doorways on the outside designed to open at specific times to receive what they need. If things in our brain are not working correctly, these doors on the receptors will rip off and there will be cellular chaos. If we think toxic thoughts, our genetic expression explodes in a negative way. If we have years and years of responding negatively to life's events and circumstances, our brain receptors are open to various diseases. We have put ourselves in a vulnerable zone when we have negative or toxic thoughts. Dr. Carol Leaf even goes on to say that toxic thoughts creates temporary brain damage. Because thoughts take up mental real estate. Thoughts take up mental real estate, so you can have, you know, let's say you have 10 toxic thoughts, and now it's clouding up your brain, and incapacitating you in your ability to think with a sound mind through problems, through pressure, and through pain. So we have to think about the Word of God day and night. So we'll have success. See, so think about Jesus and see things from the perspective of his words. So let's talk first about checking your thoughts. Because it's possible, friends, to have an emotionally happy and physically healthy lifestyle by simply learning to control your thought life. Everybody say managing your mind. So part of that is checking your thoughts. That's part of your management responsibilities. Now, you can't abdicate that for someone else. Every one of us have, they say, 30,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts, isn't it? And so it's your responsibility, our great job, to manage, check our thoughts. You got to say, okay, are you good? Are you good enough to come in? Because you're going to take up space. If it's a toxic thought, you need to, okay, you can't come in here. I'm not going to allow you. If it's a harmful, negative thought, you got to keep it out of there. So turn to someone else next to you and say, check your thoughts. So when we choose God's way, his energy comes that comes directly from the throne of grace fills our mind and body. We lose energy. I know a brother was talking about energy during prayer. We lose energy because our thought life is something going on in our thought life. It's literally, friends, mind over matter. That was enough to get dressed and come to church this morning. So choosing God brings healthy life, health, life, longevity, healing, and change. I like how Dr. Bill Winston would say it. He would say, typically we're broke because we're thinking broke. You experience lack because there's thinking lack in up here. Feelings are controlled. I'm just saying this early. Feelings are controlled by thoughts, not by circumstances. I'll say that again. Feelings are controlled by thoughts, not by circumstances. See, our challenge and encouragement today, friends, is to use our God-given mind. He's given us the mind of Christ and the Word of God and brain, our brain, the way he intended to, by thinking the thoughts of God to the point that our spirit, soul, and body are working as one supernatural aligned unit. Because some people have spirit prosperity, but they have soul poverty. In your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you want to have prosperity that works in your soul too. That's 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospering. So you may need to check out your thoughts so that make sure that your soul is prospering. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind of love and power. A sound mind is focused and disciplined on its thought life. So God has given us a spirit in our spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help us discipline and control our mind. So if somebody says, well, I can't control it. I can't control what I think of. I just allowed it. No, you got to stir up the spirit of God that's in you. God did not give you a spirit of fear. You're no longer a slave to what? To fear. You're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Everybody say, I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So I can control. I don't have to let my mind be fear-driven and fear-controlled. Now, a big deal of that, what we're going to talk about in the message, is worry. So if your mind is fear-driven and fear-controlled, it's not a sound mind. If you think wrong, you'll believe wrong. If you believe wrong, you will talk wrong. And if you talk wrong, you'll act wrong. It all hinges on your thinking. See, if you misuse your mind, your brain and body will suffer. Because some people can't sleep. I'm talking to people in this room, just being nice and being upfront with you. Some you can't sleep well because your mind is out of order. If you misuse your mind, I'll say it again, your brain and your body will suffer. It's through the conscious mind, that you make changes in your thinking. We know scripture, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and that's a process. When you hear something, it goes into your short-term memory for 24 to 48 hours. That's why people perhaps, and I'm speaking over everyone here, that's not you, but some people say, well, I forgot what the preacher said on Sunday, and it's Tuesday. And my friend back there and I, you know, we work in a company, so we have meetings, and sometimes people forget what the meeting was about by the end of the week. And why is that? Because goes into short-term memory. It has a 24 to 48-hour shelf life. If you don't do anything with it, and you Wednesday, you'll be walking around saying, what did he say on Sunday? What did he talk about? It sure was good, but I don't remember what he said. Okay, so if you continue to think about it for at least 3 days, you have the beginning of a memory. Every day that you think about something, you strengthen the thought until it becomes, after 21 days, you built a long-term memory. This is important. See, the sound mind helps you stay disciplined. I need to think right. Because if I'm not thinking right, I'm making mistakes. If I'm not thinking right, I'm making mistakes. So if you continue to think about it for 42 more days, it becomes a habit. So your management effort should be upstairs from the neck up, not down here. People want to do things out here and down here first when you need to do up here first. You need to do a checkup for that. Checking your thoughts is managing your mind. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but if you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So you change your thinking. Regardless of your upbringing, you can turn to the Almighty God, our Father. Everything changes. Your thoughts, your attitudes, your future. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, but in understanding be men. So you got to understand how this works. You got to check your thoughts. You got to learn to meditate on the right things. You got to fill your mind with the things of God, the word of God, and meditate. So in other words, how many swimmers in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're a swimmer. You swim. Only one swimmer? Nobody likes swimming? Anybody ever? Okay, all right. We got some. Anybody been underwater? Okay. Everybody's been, underwater, like swim underwater or dive underwater. Okay, everybody understands how that feels, right? All right. You should feel that way when you go into the Word. Now, if you really need life change, you got to immerse yourself in the Word. That means some of us got to put social media down. Now, I know I got to pry it out of your hand. Boy, you leave the parking lot, you already on Facebook. Now, you check in and tell them you at church. And tell them to come with you. And then you stay off of it until you say, okay, this is my plan when I leave here. And then I need to apply this and practice this so I can get it into my memory bank. Right? I need to exchange my thoughts, if they're negative or toxic, with his thoughts, which are positive and fruitful and productive and healthy. So I exchange my thoughts for his thoughts. It's a process, ladies and gentlemen. That means I got to hear it. I got to look at it. I got to ingest it. And he's telling us this book of law, don't meditate in it. Meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate. Meditate is just a basic word that means to speak to yourself. And it means to muse, to talk about it. It means to exconjugate. Well, that's a fancy term. That means to think out, to concoct or devise. That means mental mapping. And then it means to hatch up, to dream up, or to think up. Oh, you got it on the screen. Thank you, guys. Everybody say meditate. Meditate. So it's not getting yourself in a lotus position and transcendental meditation or humming like Eastern religion. I'm talking about taking the Bible and chewing it like a cow chews cud. And you see a cow that chews cud, he pulls that straw or hay in, and he chews it, he ingests it, and then he spits it back up. It's kind of nasty, gross, but he spits it back up, and then he chews it again. You need to squeeze the Word of God like you squeeze a lemon or an orange to make orange juice or lemonade. You need to squeeze the juice out of the Word of God. You squeeze it between your ears and with your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from where? Your mouth. And just like if you're drowning in a pool, the lifeguard typically runs in and try to get you going, and they give you what they call mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And so, so the same thing when you meditate. It's like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It has to get in your mouth. It has to get in your heart. It has to get in your ears. It has to get in your mind. So you can't patty cake the Word of God. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of where? My mouth. But thou shalt meditate in it. How often? It means I need to be feeding twice a day. And it's not like, we say, some people say, well, they feed on one cold snack a week for their spirit, and they feed their body three hot meals a day plus snacks and sweets. I'm like, come on now, some of us just need to look at ourselves, man. We're feeding pretty good. We're eating pretty good. But how you feeding your spirit is the important thing. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word also means to translate, to ponder, to imagine, to study, to speak to oneself. So you internalize the Word of God in your spirit and mind to build the capacity of faith to form in you. So you have to take the Word of God and internalize it. The only way you internalize is you hear it again. So you can, they put it up there pretty quickly, right after service. You can download it, listen to it right again, take your notes on it, and then say, okay, Lord, what's my assignment? And you take three or four scriptures and you begin to chew those. You never chew food with your mouth closed. That's baby stuff, right? You put the spoon up to them and they can't eat it, but then it gets all over their jaw and they spit it out. You feed the Bible with your mouth open. That's why one of the words of meditate is to speak to yourself. So in other words, you read the Bible out loud. You read the scriptures out loud because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So don't be apprehensive about the word meditation. The Bible doesn't say that God is going to universally give success to all his children, only those who follow his ways, which is meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate. So he said, out of your mouth, you shall meditate. You may observe to do, then you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. The more you focus, the less you fear. The more you focus, the less you fear. Some, perhaps, even in this room, may have to get their mind refocused and repaired because there's been brain damage because of harmful, toxic thoughts. Now, I'm just saying that because, you know, this is a sense of urgency that this mind maintenance or managing our mind. And then, of course, the second point of managing your mind is manage your thinking. Everybody say, manage my thinking. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:8, New Living. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Colossians 3:6, set your minds and keep them set on what is above and the higher things, not on the things of the earth. So you need to be heavenly minded and earthly good, but heavenly minded. Praise God. poet and novelist James Joyce said, your mind will give back to you exactly what you put in it. Now, what if you put in just TV? Horror movies, fear-filled stuff, not faith-building stuff. What are you going to get out of it? We know this, you know the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. So what's going in your mind? The greatest enemy to good thinking is busyness. How much good think time do you have every day? 1 minute of thinking is more value than an hour of unplanned talk or work. So when you get up in the morning, don't just be a responder. Don't just grab your phone and start responding to everybody that texted you, emailed you, or Facebooked you last night, or sent you a message. You respond to your spirit.
Amen. Good.
You respond to your spirit.
Yes.
This is good stuff. Amen. All right. Third point is think about what you're thinking about. Everybody say, think about.
Think about
what you're thinking about. So sometimes you got to think about, okay, this area is hard for me. I'm stuck in this area. So what do I practically do? I need to sit down and think about what I'm thinking about. Because you have to do two things. You got to think your way through the problem, and you got to set your mind for success. That's important. You got to think your way through the problem and then set your mind for success. Because remember the principle. If you think wrong, you're going to what? Believe wrong. And if I believe wrong, then I'm going to talk wrong. And then I'm going to act wrong, and then things will go wrong. Because if you think it's impossible, it is impossible to you because you don't believe it's possible. If you think this is never going to change or happen, what's going to happen? Your belief system is now wired into it's never going to change, it's never going to happen. Now, we know the agent of change is the Word of God. And so you got to get the Word of God in your thinking. Because all things are what? Possible to them that believe. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Come on now. You got to be thinking about that, you know, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Come on now. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. You're not thinking more than a conqueror. You're never going to conquer anything. You got to think, in him I live and move and have my being. You got to think according to and align yourself with the Word of God. And when you think and believe, you think the thoughts of God, and now your belief system's back in the right place. And then you can talk right and act right. Is this good stuff? So think about what you're thinking about. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. This is our responsibility, as we said. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts, listen to this, prepare us for action. Thoughts precede action. If we have stinking thinking, we will have stinking lives. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. If things are stinking in your life, then it's because there's probably hygiene of the head that needs to go on. We got stinking thinking. How we act, friends, is determined and face problems, and pressure determines how long we will stay there. Remember, our feelings are controlled by our thoughts, not by our circumstances. How we respond to disappointments, discouragement, shattered dreams determine our progress and our outcome. See, the mind is a battlefield. If Satan can defeat you in mind, he can defeat you in life. The devil can't have your joy and peace if you don't give it to him. He can't control us if he can't control your mind. You're no longer a slave to fear. Because he will bring fearful thoughts, and worry is an offspring of fear. To go higher, you got to think higher. Think big. Stretch your mind for God. Come on, somebody say that with me. Stretch my mind, Lord.
Stretch my mind, Lord.
Ephesians 4:23 says, in the Amplified, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Empty space is still a place. Mind over matter. Negative toxic thoughts will take up mental real estate and cause temporary brain damage. We must renew our minds regularly with the Word of God. You got to set your mind for victory. Set your mind for increase. Set your mind for excellence. Set your mind to overcome and not walk in guilt and shame. You have to make up your mind that you will possess all that God has for you. Because some people believe that it's not possible. It's not possible for me to live holy. Not possible for me to live above the circumstances of life. Not possible to me seeing my needs met and God propel me into a level of prosperity. Not possible for me to be free from all sickness and disease. It is possible. All things are possible to him that believe. With God, nothing is impossible. So if you let the devil defeat you in your thinking, he will defeat you. If your life's a mess, it's because your mind is a mess. We must learn to practice think on good things on purpose. It's not our circumstances that are upsetting us. And just think about your attitude or temperament the last couple of weeks or during the summer, June, July, going on now. How has your thinking been? How's your temperament and attitude? If you've been short-fused, irritated, frustrated, it's because what? Your thoughts are upsetting. You got upsetting thoughts. If you fly off the handle at the first little thing, you bristle up, you're angry, and you're short-fused. It's not circumstances. Remember, feelings are controlled by what? Thoughts, not circumstances. I'm upset. I'm in a doom loop or a drama cycle because my mind is there. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. Now let's talk about the big deal of. I'm closing with this. This is the real meat of the matter here. Because people go there, those dark places. Those fearful places because of worry. Everybody say, don't worry.
Don't worry.
That's his open door to get you on the dark side. Well, don't say, well, Pastor, everybody worries. No. See, people look at big sin as, okay, they did something wrong. They did this big bad thing. Worry's just big a sin as the rest of them. As a matter of fact, there's no real big little things. Worry is a sin. That means it's wrong. It's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for your spiritual life. Amen? Philippians 4:6. Let's turn there. Go there. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The New Living says it this way: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what all he has done. New Life says it this way. New Life Bible version says, don't worry. Learn to pray about everything. Give thanks to God as you have asked him for what you need. Now, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Give all your cares, worries and cares to God. What are we supposed to do with them? Everybody say, give it to the Lord. For he cares for you. Now worry, if you're writing notes or taking notes, means to divide. Jesus had said, and when he came on the scene, the parable of the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, he said, take no thought. Now that means if you take no thought, that means you can take a thought. But he said, take no thought for your life. That means you shouldn't worry about your needs. Now he put it in categories: what you eat, what you should drink, what you should put on, you know, your food, clothes, and shelter. Those are the main, what they call Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, having water, food, clothes, and shelter is one of the primary needs that we all kind of want, right? And so he said, don't think about them, though. Don't think about them. Don't take a thought over them. And he goes on and says, and then he goes on down and says in Matthew 6, he said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What should we drink? Now in the New Living, it says, do not worry about any of this stuff. So worry means to divide. It means to tear. It means to rip apart. It means to pull in opposite directions. So to be anxious, according to the scripture, is to be torn apart by circumstances. To be anxious in the scriptures is to be torn apart by circumstances. In other words, circumstances say, well, I don't have the money. Circumstances say, well, I got the doctor's report about a health issue. Circumstances may say, me and the missus are having a squabble. There's a bunch of strife and discord going on at the house. You know, circumstances might say, my kid's in trouble. And the devil wants you to respond with what? Taking the worry, taking the care. Now, normal Christian concern should be, God's taking care of it, but I'm going to do my Christian duty and respond appropriately according to the Bible. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to give thanks for it. That's Philippians 6:4-6 formula. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to give it to the Lord, and then I'm going to give thanks for it. Are y'all here? So do you want to be torn apart by circumstances? Philippians 4:6, the opposite of peace, it also gives us the opposite of peace is worry. So when you measure your mind, when you manage your mind, you're saying, do I have peace? Do I have perfect peace? Remember our opening scripture? That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on. Do I have peace in my soul? Do I have peace in my mind? Because the opposite of peace is worry. The Greek word for anxious means to have a mind divided between two things: legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. Legitimate thoughts are the thoughts of God. Destructive thoughts will choke out the word of God and cause the believer to abandon their trust in God. So in other words, instead of believing what God said, you believe what you see and feel. because of the circumstances. I see this, I feel this, so now I've shifted my trust from God to it. And these are destructive thoughts. Everybody getting this?
Yes.
Now, for Philippians 4:8, we read, and we surmised that right thinking will win the battle against worry. Because worry will come, but friends, worry should not be denied, it should be dealt with. It should not be denied, it should be dealt with. And we do this through the prayer commitment, which is casting our cares on the Lord. This is done through prayer. And as we cast our cares upon the Lord, we definitely commit our problems to Him. We give it to Him. Everybody say, give it to the Lord.
Give it to the Lord.
So when He has it, He can work on it. So if this was my worry and I gave it to Sister Frances here and she took it, that means if she's representing the Lord, she has it. This care, this concern, give it to the Lord. Now, when you take it back, what does that mean? The Lord doesn't have it. I've got it. And when I have it, He doesn't have it. The Lord doesn't have it, right? And He can't work on it unless you give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord.
Give it to the Lord.
So you got to give it to the Lord. Now, how do we know we have it? Let me give you real two clues. You think about it and you talk about it. That way you know you still have it. Remember, the opposite of peace, anxiety is the opposite of peace, which is worry. So when I'm worried, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to mentally roll it around in my mind. I'm going to flip it over like a pancake. I'm still trying to figure it out, and fix it. And then I'm going to talk about it. Now, this is where the sound mind comes in and helps. Because if you can't be disciplined in checking your thoughts and thinking about what you're thinking about, when worry comes, you have no barriers. You have no boundaries. You have no system set up to where everything can come right free will at you. Because the devil will come. He said, no, that's an easy one right there. That's an easy Christian. We can just throw thoughts right there, and they just let them come right in. And these are not legitimate thoughts, friends. These are destructive thoughts that come in. Worry hinders your prayers. When you're worried and fretting and anxious, your faith won't work. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. You can cry and thank God. God is touched with our feelings, but he doesn't act on our feelings. He acts on our faith. It's an act of faith to give your cares, your worries, your burdens to the Lord. Amen. So let's look at it in three circles. I've heard the story before, the three circles of the Christian life. So you have Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. So you should have a worry circle. And what should be written in it? Nothing. And then you have a prayer circle. What should be in it? Everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Then you have a thanksgiving circle. What should be in it? In everything. In everything, give thanks. No matter what the circumstances is, be thankful and give thanks. So I know I got to pray about it, and I got to thank God. You're thanking God in advance of anything being circumstantially changed or different. You're thanking God in advance. You got it, Lord. Thank you for taking my care. Thank you for taking my burden. I appreciate you taking care of this. I'd commit not to touch it in my thought life. Now, you might have to do this, friends, in some cases, 5-7 times a day. Because you find yourself walking through the day, as I gave it to the Lord this morning. And then later on, oh, there it is again. I got it back. It's like flypaper. That thing you gave to the Lord is come right back on your hand. You got it now. And so what are you going to do? Give it back. You know, most of us have electronic Bibles that we can pull up on our phone, look at, because faith comes by hearing what? Hearing, and hearing by what? You can, not your word, but his word. So you got to look at Philippians 4:6, chew on Philippians 4:6, Philippians 1 Peter 5:7, and says, okay, this gives me faith to cast my care again. Repent for the worry, and then give it to the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, what is casting your care? It's an act of faith. So it's a deliberate act, it's a deliberate speaking, and a deliberate follow-through. I was cutting my grass one time, and I had to stop in the middle of cutting my grass because I was worried about Bill. Now, I can talk to this from first position, first language, because I know a lot about this issue. And so I had to stop cutting my grass. And in the back, I was in the backyard. You know, our dog goes back there, so it wasn't smelling good. So I wasn't thinking good either. So I wasn't thinking good, and it wasn't smelling good. Things weren't good. So I said, well, I got this care again. I'm pushing my lawnmower and got my care in my mind. And then I had to stop and then give it to the Lord. Remember, destructive thoughts, friends, take up mental real estate, and they will create brain damage. And when I can't think right, I'm going to make mistakes. Because I'm going to make decisions based on the devil's input. The devil's stimulus is going to drive me, because I'm going to be fear-driven now. I'm going to make every decision based on fear. And you're no longer a slave to fear, and you've not been given the spirit of fear. And you're making fear-dependent, fear-driven decisions based on circumstances. Your mind's divided, and so now you're a double-minded person, and you're unstable in everything else you got going on. Is this helping somebody?
Yes.
Everybody say a deliberate act,
a deliberate act.
A deliberate speaking, and a deliberate follow-through. So what does that mean? A deliberate act is basically you got to give it to the Lord. Sometimes you got to stop in the middle of you doing. You washing dishes. I've had to do that. Washing dishes, cooking dinner. You got to stop. Okay, I got to get this. I got to get this thought, get this care out of me. I'm not supposed to be doing it. I've got to act on the word of God. The act is to cast your cares, not carry your care. Now think about it, friends. Peter was giving us an illustration in context. If you look at the verse 5-6, he said, be clothed in humility. And in the context of talking about a humility, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he says, humble yourself, verse 6, Philippians 5, 6, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, King James says. But humbling is like a demotion. Military rank term, like I take a demotion. So I'm now a captain, but now I've demoted myself to private. But you got to demote yourself. Everybody say, demote yourself. You got to demote yourself and say, when you hit that circumstance, that situation, you say, I can't handle this. Even though you went through the last 10 financial situations, when you begin to think that I'm big and bad enough to handle this one, because I got experience now, you got to demote yourself. Everybody say, demote yourself. You got to put yourself down and say, Lord, this is yours. I demote myself under your mighty hand, under your authority and rule and sovereignty, and now you got it. I don't have it. I'm not big enough to deal with this. This is what you say. I'm not big enough to deal with this. Family issues, kid issues, marriage issues, financial issues, health issues, whatever spectrum, work issues. You say, I can't handle this. You big enough to handle this? I demote myself.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you. He said, casting, this is how you do it, by casting all of your care on him, for he cares for you. Casting all of your concerns, all of your worries, all of your fears, all your anxieties, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Then you can be carefree, stress-free, burden-free, and worry-free. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So if the casting of your cares is humility, the caring of your cares is pride. And God does what to the proud? He resists. Everybody say he resists. Now Amplify is very strong. It says he opposes, frustrates, and defeats. You want God against you? We always say, is God before us? Who can be against us? Well, what if God's against you? Who can be for you? He opposes, he frustrates, and he defeats the proud. Pride is a professional care carrier. I'm not proud. I'm going through all this stuff. I'm looking all sad and gloomy and despair on me. You know, like hee-haw. I'm dating myself. You know, gloom, despair, agony on me. So we're looking all proud. But pride is I'm carrying the care. My care limit is zero. If I got one care, sister, I can't think, well, I can handle this one. Because that's pride, right? It's not you running around with your thumbs behind the lapel saying, look at me, I'm big bad, I'm big boss with the hot sauce. No. Pride is saying, I got it. Pride is saying, I got this. I can handle this. I can do this. And you, like a bull in a china shop, you think, well, I can just tough enough to handle this, and the devil beats you black and blue. Pride is a professional care carrier and a care taker. It takes the care instead of casts the care. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. So I don't care if it's big or little. We got some wonderful, beautiful teenagers in here, and they got school coming up. Cast the care about your teacher. Some people start worrying about back to school stuff. Come on now. Take no thought about that. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You're supposed to be carefree, worry-free, stress-free, anxiety-free. You're no longer a slave to fear. All worry, anxiety, stress, negative stress, harmful stress, and care is fear-based, fear-dependent. God doesn't want you to be sucking on fear fumes. He wants you free. Is this helping somebody?
Amen.
Psalms 55:22 says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Isn't that awesome? He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. Amplify says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be made to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. So the two definitions of care that I need you to get, and then we'll close. One, to be drawn in different directions, because it draws you in a different direction. Instead of walking in faith, you're now walking in fear. You're a child of God. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. You're supposed to be walking in faith. Not by walking with the cares and stress and load of the life all board up. And then it also means, number two, division, distraction, worry, and anxiety. care is loaded with evil. That's why Peter says, after verse 7, he says, be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Everybody say adversary. Adversary is the word that means antidikos, which means one opponent, foe, one arrayed against you. Who's arrayed against you? The devil. Everybody say the devil. He's not good, he's bad, he's evil, he's a meanie. He doesn't play fair. And so what he does, he loads you up with care and get in your thought life because the battle's in your mind. He loads you up. He knows if he defeats you in the mind, he can defeat you. And once he loads up your mind, in verse, he said, he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you've been to a zoo, you understand that the lions roar when they're eating or when they've killed their prey. And at night, you know, Tulsa, when I was up there in Oklahoma, and you fly over you fly over the Tulsa Zoo, and you can hear the roaring of lions. And everybody's like, what's that? Well, they're feeding the lions. Now, this is what it means symbolically. Get a picture of this. When the enemy's shoveled thoughts in your mind and you've taken them and you've taken the care of things and you're now loaded down, he's defeated you in the mind. And just like a roaring lion, he's roaring in the realm of the spirit and saying, "Roar! We got another one bit the dust. Come get him, boys. It's time to feast on this Christian." And when you feast on that Christian, he's slurping up the remains, because you've already been destroyed now with your own thoughts. He's destroyed you, defeated you in the mind, and he's roaring, saying, "I got another one." And then he's going to just slurp up the remains of your life. Y'all stand, please, with me. Stand. Come on, come on, let's thank God for what you heard. This is worth you getting a college education. Because if you can't deal with your mind, you can't manage your mind, you can't live loud for Jesus. It's difficult because you're always consumed with burden, care, worry, stress, anxiety. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God wants to deliver us out of all of our afflictions, friends. Just because you go through stuff doesn't mean God's against you. He told us many other afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of what? Them all. Psalm 34:19. Amen. We serve a good God who wants to take care of all of your problems, all of your fears and worries, and take them from you. And said, "You can't handle these things. But I can. I can." You should not fear, should not worry about tomorrow, about next week, about next month, about next year. You should not worry and fret about what you don't have, what you can't do, and what you don't know. Little worries, big worries, all of them are bad. And they won't make you glad, they'll make you sad. God wants you to have a good life, friends, of joy and peace. Now take this time today and all your cares to him release. So allow the Lord to help you think higher and think strong.